Luther and Nora slept until almost 7 a.m., when the phone awakened them. "May I speak to Frosty?" came the voice of a teenager, and before Luther could shoot back a retort, the line was dead. He managed to laugh, though, and as he jumped out of bed, he patted his rather firm stomach and said, "The islands are calling us, dear. Let's pack." "Fetch my coffee," she said, and slid deeper under the covers. The morning was overcast and cold, the chance of a white Christmas 50-50. Luther certainly didn't want one. Nora would lapse into a spell of nostalgia if snow fell on Christmas Eve. She'd grown up in Connecticut, where, according to her, every Christmas had been white. Luther didn't want the weather meddling with their flight tomorrow. He stood at the front window, exactly where the tree would have been, sipped his coffee, gazed upon his lawn to make sure it had not been vandalized by Spike Frohmeyer and his band of outlaws, and looked at the Scheel home across the street. In spite of all its lights and decorations, it was a gloomy place. Walt and Bev were in there having their coffee, sleepwalking through the motions, both knowing but not saying that this could be their last Christmas together. For a moment, Luther felt a twinge of regret about eliminating Christmas, but it didn't last long. Next door, things were certainly different at the Trogdons. They followed the odd custom of playing Santa Claus on the morning of Christmas Eve, 24 hours before the rest of the world, then loading their minivan and racing off to a lodge for a week of skiing. Same lodge every year, and Trogdon had explained that they had Christmas dinner in a stone cabin before a roaring fireplace with 30 other Trogdons. Very cozy, great skiing, kids loved it, and the family got along. Different strokes. So the Trogdons were already up and unwrapping piles of gifts. Luther could see movement around their tree, and he knew that before long they'd be hauling boxes and bags to the van. Then the yelling would start. The Trogdon kids would be whisked away before they were forced to explain how exactly they got such a favorable deal from Santa Claus. Otherwise, Hemlock was still and quiet, bracing itself for the festivities. Luther took another sip and grinned smugly at the world. On the morning of a typical Christmas Eve, Nora would bounce out of bed at sunrise with two long lists, one for her and an even longer one for him. By 7, she'd have a turkey in the oven, the house spotless, the table set for the party, and her thoroughly defeated husband out in the jungle trying to beat last-minute traffic with his list. They'd bark at each other face to face and by cell phone.